Welcome back all. Thanks everyone for coming out on Saturday. Sorry, it's so hard getting my legs underneath this table. I need to modify this. For coming out for the Harley-Davidson Street Bob reveal on Saturday. It was thanks to all of you coming out that really made the day so special. Coming out on your prides and joys from 3 hours up north, 3 hours to the west. It really was magic seeing all of you. I was over the moon with the Street Bob build, the sun was out, we had Rikers in the background, some food, coffee. It was glorious, I loved it. So thank you all so much. It was a pleasure to meet all of you. And thank you everyone for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. Without all of your input, it would be impossible for me to come up with stuff to talk about. So it's all thanks to you every week. I cannot thank you enough for that. Let's get going. I'm gonna do quite a bit of Japanese stuff this week. And I'll start off with a bike that excites me very possibly more than any other right now within the Japanese bike market. This is in from Matt. Freddie, what are your thoughts about the Yamaha XSR 900 GP? I'll put a pickup here because this is art. I believe it's an absolute amazing looking bike. Matt, it's perfect timing you say this because we were at the Copdoc bike show just yesterday. This is one of the biggest motorbike shows in the UK. And one of the bikes that we all agreed was one of the best looking bikes full stop at Copdoc was this exact bike. And I wanted to talk about this bike, and then I saw your comments. I thought, right, that's it. The XSR 900 GP. In essence, what it is, take the Yamaha XSR 900 that's been around for 9 years and put a very, very, almost industrial-looking 1970s, 1980s fairing kit on it. Transformative. This is a head-turning bike, and it was getting so much attention at the bike show. In the flesh, it's even better looking. I think it's so good looking. I've never done this before for the channel. I think I may try and get one for a couple of weeks to test out. I really liked it that much. Take a listen to this. Let me give you an overview here. Yamaha's website, designed to evoke memories of the golden era. Sold. The XSR 900 GP is the ultimate blend of heritage racing style combined with the latest in cutting-edge technology to offer a thrilling ride to stimulate the senses in a way like no other. Don't be fooled by the heritage style. Underneath the bodywork lies the latest in cutting-edge Yamaha technology, resulting in a truly capable machine that thrills with each twist of the throttle. Can I just jump in here as well and say, this is the first podcast I'm doing with the captain's chair. Swivel chair, armrests, God, it's so comfy. Okay, now back to it. This all sounds brilliant. I love the blurb, the writing that Yamaha have done. £12,804, it's very specific. 200 kilos, 900cc, and 117 horsepower. Everything looks pleasant enough. Certainly nothing is even remotely close to market leading from any of those specs at all. But what it says to me is, a bike that's been very nicely set up for real world riding, 900cc, is a lovely amount of cc for the real roads or the real world. 117 horsepower likewise. MCN say this, if I haven't sold it to you enough yet, a modern weapon in a retro frock. Sorry if you can hear that banging there. I hope that's not going to be a constant for this episode. I mean, a modern weapon in a retro frock. Carrying on with MCN, there are a lot of machines that blend a level of modern performance with a retro appearance, but no one has been able to pull off such a well-rounded machine as well as Yamaha have with the XSR 900 GP. Right, dream level machine. Look, you've got the Ducatis, you've got the Italian Exotica, like the MV Agustas, things like this. But at £12,800, or even forgetting the money, is there a better looking sports bike on the market right now? And I know beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, so maybe what I could say, if you may reply to me, yes, that Ducati's better looking. Okay, is there a more unique looking sports bike in the market right now? Over and above this GP. If it's almost 13,000 for a brand new one, bearing in mind these came out in 20, God, what was it? Was it 2024? I think these came out. I think they've been out about a year now. Is this tempting? I think it might be. I found a one-year-old one here, 3,000 miles on the clock. The perfect color. I think you can get it in black as well. For me personally, it has to come in this color combo. It's got to come in the silver and red because that's just so 1980s, the way it looks. 9.5K. That's a £3,300 saving for 1 year old bike. To get one of these for sub 10K, that is so, so tempting. I'm looking right now at the Vespa, the Lambretta, the Bonneville. One of those would look quite nice in here. That really is genuinely nice, actually. Very rare for a sports bike to seriously tempt me. Italian off-roading. Oh, look at these pics as I read this out. This is from Chris over in Germany. These are brilliant, brilliant pics, and what a trip this is. My brother and I started on a Friday afternoon in Dusseldorf, Germany, and we rode via the Eifel, Luxembourg, the Vosges, apologies for the pronunciation, in France, through the Jura Mountains to Piemont and to Susa in Italy, near Turin. That's 3 days of winding country roads, except for a small problem with the tank ventilation on my brother's DR650. Both bikes mastered the 1,000 kilometers perfectly. On day four, we checked into a campsite and immediately hit the first off-road track, the Strada del Assieta, an old military road in the Alps that's still open to motorcycles and off-road vehicles. I'm going to save this name. Strada del Assieta, open to off-roaders and motorbikes. And what can I say? We were both speechless when we got to the top. On the way up, we were still a bit cautious because our off-road experience so far was limited to Tet trails in the Netherlands, Belgium and Denmark. But the further we worked our way up through the gravel and the fog cleared, the more exciting the ride on the Assieta became. The views and the light were indescribable. It's crazy that you can do something like this in Europe. It took us a total of 2.5 hours to complete the unpaved section, partly because we kept stopping to enjoy the views. And over the next 2 days, we tackled three more challenging off-road routes, including the climb to Monte Jaffarao, unfortunately completely in fog. For both of us, this was a completely new experience, even though we'd been riding motorcycles for a while. It was absolutely thrilling to learn how to ride a motorcycle all over again, and we can recommend this to everyone. The 1,000 kilometers of motorway back were no fun, but that's just part of it, right? And the motorbikes? Well, the bikes couldn't be more different. Carburetor versus injection, single versus twin, 200 kilos versus 150 kilos. That's a massive difference. Comfortable touring with wind protection and 6-speed quick shifter versus a raw enduro machine. 25 years age difference between the two. But in the end, none of this matters as long as you have a smile on your face as a rider. I'm very grateful that I was able to make this trip with my little brother and can only say to everyone, don't wait for the perfect moment, just go. Chris, the pics that you got from that, it really, really makes me want to go out and get a, you know, an affordable bike like this to add alongside the Bonneville, because that looks so, so incredibly fun. Just pure freedom there. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, the magic discontinued Dyna Harley-Davidson. This is quite pertinent for me. Because, look, this Harley Street Bob build, the one I've done with Wars, 1970s inspiration, this is my dream Harley Davidson. But the stock bike is about 16,000. I know there has been so much work gone into that bike. I don't know how much the Harley build that I've been doing cost or would cost if it went retail. I was asking people this about 2 days ago at Wars. What do you think it would cost if Wars put this up for sale? The range of prices was people guessing between 20 and £35,000. I don't know where it would fall within that, but I'm pretty sure it would fall somewhere within that area. If I had to guess, and I'm awful at this, but I hate sitting on the fence, I would say my guess would be somewhere around 27,000, something like that. It's a wild guess. But there are more cost-effective options if you want to go older. So listen to this. This is from Sarah Lou over in the USA. Freddie, my dream bike when I first started riding was a 1978 Harley Lowrider. I'm talking brand new. But alas, living in England, it was way beyond my price range. Forward several years, and I moved to the USA in the year 2000. I'd been out of the biking world for quite a few years, but in 2018, I got that itch again. So I took a rider course as a refresher, and I set about finding another bike. I came across a 2007 Harley Wide Glide, 96 cubic inches. Although not a 1978 lowrider, it gave me the same butterflies and lust I had experienced 40 years previously. Wow. So after driving from Georgia, or to Georgia from Alabama, that's over a 200-mile round trip, I got my dream bike home. I thought, this is it. I found my perfect partner for the road, and despite buying several other bikes over the years, the Wide Glide was always my go-to bike. However, in April of this year, after 7 glorious years riding the Wide Glide, a car pulled in front of me and did a hit and run. Sarah, sorry to hear that. My poor baby was totaled by the insurance company. I've since replaced her with a 2016 Wide Glide 103 cubic inches, but it's just not the same. I miss my baby so much. I currently have 3 Harleys, 2016 Wide Glide, 2018 Fat Bob, and a 2019 Street Glide. Wow, wow, to have all 3, that's incredible. I enjoy each and every one of them, but none stir the emotions quite like my old yellow Wide Glide dream bike. It's really interesting. Based on my life experiences, just to add, I agree you should always find a way to get your dream bike instead of regretting not getting that ideal purchase. Sarah Lou, USA. Sarah, this is everything that I'm discussing this week is perfect timing, because I think I had so many chats about bikes over the weekend. I've got some way of linking it with a story from the weekend. And this, Sarah's perfect timing, because that old 2007 Wide Glide that you had, that was a Dyna. And the Dyna Harley Davidsons were discontinued in 2017. I can't believe it, 8 years ago. And you can tell the Dynas because they have suspension arms on either side of the rear wheel. So instead of having a mono shock that's hidden at the back like the Softails do, like pretty much the entire range near enough of Harleys do now, the Dynas, you get the big engines but with twin shocks on the back, just like my Bonneville, for example. And I love that look because it gives a proper old school look to the bikes. It's my favorite setup for rear suspension just from an aesthetics point of view. This for me is bang on. And I got to Wars Harley Davidson on Saturday and I was interviewed by Neil Fox, otherwise known as Dr. Fox, a really famous British DJ, because he's a huge, huge Harley fan. He's had 43 Harley Davidsons over his life. Everything from brand new, heavily customized, everything in between. But what I found really interesting, his Harley Davidson of choice now that he's had, what did he say? I think about 4 months, is a 2016 Harley Davidson Dyna. And the reason this is now his bike of choice, bear in mind, he's had a successful career. He could probably, I don't know, go out and buy a brand new Harley Davidson if he wanted. But he's gone for a 10-year-old Dyna because he said the level of feel you get from the older Harley Davidsons, such as the old Dynas, is noticeably more visceral than the brand new ones. The new bikes are better, but go back 10 years, you still have that modern reliability, but you have a rawer feeling to the bike. It's vibrating more, it's less refined, and that gives you a little bit more of that classic Harley-Davidson experience. So I found that fascinating. So he rocked up on his 10-year-old Harley-Davidson Dyna. So what I want to do here, I want to find 2 Harley Davidsons from that older generation of bikes that are slightly more on the affordable end of the spectrum and that classic shape. the diner shape that's now not been with us for 8 years. So what I'm going to do first, okay, I'm going to do two. I'm going to do one on Facebook Marketplace. You know what you can get here? It has actually opened my eyes, genuinely. First one, Harley Davidson Diner Wide Glide, exactly the same as Sarah's, I mean the same model. 2005 model, so this is 20 years old now. But look at this, for a bike that looks this good, I think this is the carbureted one as well, 1450, 5 grand. I found them as cheap as 4.5K, but this is a really nice looking one. £5,000, no messing about, this is dream level Harley Davidson for £5,000. And one other one I'll do, if you want to get one from a dealership, a lot of people have been sending me these, the Sweet Spot, the old Harley Davidson Street Bob, so exactly the one that I helped build. I helped design with Wars Harley Davidson. The old one in diner form from a dealership, £6,500. Personal preference for me, I love the Mini 8s. I put Mini 8 straight on that, but 6.5 grand for something like that? I remember when these were 10K minimum, so I was shocked to see 6 grand you can get these for. Such a good bike for the money, £14,500. I've ridden one of those. I absolutely love it. Tested it about 10 years ago before I started any YouTubing or anything. So Sarah, thank you for that inspiration and what a great setup of bikes. I should say this just to wrap it up. The three picks Sarah shared, one of three bikes is called Babies. The one of the written off Wide Glide is called Poor Baby. And the final one is simply called Wide Glide Alloy. That's passion. Moving on to Nero Smeraldo. Say no more with a name like that. This is from Gianluca over in Italy. Nero Smeraldo. Just let that name soak in for a colour. That's why I had to read this out. This is just stunning. Freddie, I'd like to share with you some pictures and my thoughts on my new Moto Guzzi V7 Special. It's the 2025 model, which features improved electronics for safety and an updated engine. The new engine has an improved cooling circuit and a larger airbox for better reliability and performance. I chose the Nero Smeraldo colour because it was love at first sight. I really like it because it's very original and changes a lot depending on the light. This model is built in the historic and recently renovated factory in Mandello del Lario in Italy. I think that's still on the banks of Lake Como. The bike feels alive when you start it, and I love that. I often find myself just staring at it, thanks to its iconic style and that unmistakable engine you can recognize from a distance. I'm sharing some pictures I took on the shores of Lago di Como and in front of the factory in Mandello del Lario, Gianluca, Italy. Gianluca, this is special. For one, I love the V7s. It's an amazing bike. But on top of that, if you go to the Moto Guzzi website, go to V7, then there are three options. V7 Stone is the entry level. V7 Sport is the sporty mid-level one. V7 Special is the premium end. But even this, bear in mind, Italian-built, Italian-made V-twin engined motorbike, even this is £8,900. If you click on it, there are two colour options for the V7 Special. It has to be this. The Nero Smeraldo. Smeraldo is Italian for emerald, so black emerald. And if you look closely, you just see the hint of that emerald coming through. It's one of the most beautiful colours that I have ever seen on any bike. And I would buy this bike just for that colour. And Gianluca, seeing yours there in front of the Moto Guzzi factory, glistening away like that, that is a sensation, that bike. And don't you think, £8,900 for an Italian-built V-twin with a premium colour option like that, I think that is phenomenal value. I'm so impressed. I'll shut up now, gushing, but that's such good value. Really such good value for a bike. Gianluca, thank you so much for that. I'm moving on. Carrying on with the Italian stuff, a brand new Italian sports bike at a tantalising price. This is coming in from Alistair. Freddie, there's a lot to be said for buying a bike at this time of year, right now, right at the end of riding season. the best deals are available on last year's model. So I've just picked up an Aprilia Tuono 660 factory for 30% off the 2025 model. Let's face it, buy a 4x4 in the summer and a convertible in the throes of winter, and the same in the biking world. Yeah, Alistair, this is really interesting. The deals that you can get on these are, you're absolutely right, phenomenal. So let's take a look. You can get the factory model, which is even more hardcore, but we'll just focus on the Aprilia Tuono 660. Launched in 2021, 183 kilograms. That's pretty impressive, 183 kilos. 93 horsepower, that's perfect. Made in Italy, again, it's a big selling point. Brand new for one of these, 9,850. Look, you can get really good deals on these from 2021. But what I wanted to see, at the end of biking season right now, what can you get for a brand new one of these? Take a look at this. Bear in mind, remember the price, £9,850. I found a brand new one here from a dealer, brand new. It's not even pre-registered, this. Save £2,151. Now, £7,699 for a brand new, unregistered Aprilia Tuono. God, biking is amazing, isn't it? It's to get that level of engineering, that level of Italian exotica for 7.7K, I think that's just glorious. That's two really, really great deals. Some very special bike there, the Moto Guzzi and this. Right, Alistair, thanks for bringing that to our attention. That's really useful. Moving on now to a New Zealander in need of a bit of help with a bike. And this is Bike of the Week, coming in from Austin. Freddie, long-time 29-year-old viewer from New Zealand. Your videos have helped me get through a tough time when I was in and out of hospital for half a year, barely able to walk. Back up and healthy now. Austin, delighted to hear that. My question to you is, I currently own a 2022 Kawasaki Z400. It's been fantastic as my second bike, but I'm now looking to upgrade it. My problem is that I've got a few options that I really like for different reasons. I'm not looking for an absolute missile of a speed machine, but also I'm not looking for anything sluggish either. I'm normally a relaxed rider, but I do love to open it up and get my adrenaline fix when I want to. Also, I love the modern retro styling. The bikes that I've got in mind are the Yamaha XSR 900 2022 and newer model, Triumph Bonneville, that's anything from the 865 to 1200, and the Kawasaki Z900 RS. The cost does also play a factor here. After selling my Z400, I would have around 12,000 New Zealand dollars. That's about £5,200 sterling. Also open to taking a small loan as per your last video's financial advice, but I'd rather not have to do that. Have you any advice between these bikes or any others that I may not have considered? Yeah, Austin, you've got a really good shortlist there. All of those excellent bikes, from the Yamaha, the Kawasaki, to the Triumph. If I were you, taking on everything that you've told me, I think you're bang on with your initial thought there. Yamaha XSR 900, I think, will be the perfect bike for you. But these hold their value so well. If you can get a 2022 model of these, amazing. Go for one of those, but I think you're going to have to go even older than that. These bikes came out in 2016, the XSR 900s. I think you're going to have to go back to one of the first or second years that these bikes came out, because I've been a bit blown away by how well they hold their value. It seems like the going rate, starting price for these, around about the £5,000 mark. So your budget, it should get you in for, I'd say, an entry level. They're all fairly standard regardless what you go for, but you're going to be looking for one of the first 2 years that these bikes came out. I've been watching Geordie Pressman, who's currently been enjoying one of these. He's a Harley rider, and he's been blown away by this. So he did get me looking on Facebook Marketplace even last week, seeing how much he's been enjoying these bikes. I wouldn't specifically say this is a beautiful bike. I would say it's brutalist. It's got a presence about it, but beautiful? No, but I like it. It's a brute of a bike. It's almost got a slightly industrial feel to it. So 900cc, I think it's 116. I haven't written it down, but I think, if my memory serves me correctly, I think it's about 116 horsepower and just under the 200 kilo mark, maybe 195 kilos, which funnily enough, 9 years on, is almost exactly the same as the new XSR 900 GP that I mentioned at the start of this episode. I think to the horsepower, it's identical 9 years on, and the weight even of this original one from 9 years ago is about 5 kilos less than the GP because of all the fairings and stuff like that. So you see that Yamaha got the recipe perfect when they first brought it out. They've got a reputation for being superbly reliable, exceptional build quality, and really, really light, lithe, and nimble handling. These get pretty much universal praise wherever you look. Look, $5,000 you can pick one of these up for. So Austin, bear in mind that you've got a decent range here, but I just wanted to show people one option. Bear in mind $5,000 usually. There is a very good one on Facebook Marketplace right now. 2016 model, so the first year this came out. This is a good £1,000 cheaper than the next cheapest model. £3,450. This is exceptionally cheap for one of these. You could feel like you may be scared off, but it's a really honest seller. I would 100% trust this just from the description. I know this is going to be a good bike. 30,000 miles on the clock. It's just had its MOT, its annual check. It's got loads of stuff that's been done to it. And importantly, it's had the handlebars lowered, but he's still got the original handlebars. I'd put those straight back to standard. For a bike like this, you need that level of comfort. And I think a few of these easily reversible modifications that he's still got the original parts for is why it's going for £1,000 cheaper. So buy this bike, put it back to a little bit closer to standard. You've got an excellent bike there for a good £1,000 below market value. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Have a great week all. And I'll see you all in the next one.